And now, sports and other stuff. The Closers. Join the talk now. 800-229-5378. News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
Fishing Hole Friday on the Closers. News Talk 1400 KFRU. 1240 KLIK down in Jefferson City. 442-8255. 800-229-5378. Going to be a good day. No pants summer. Rapidly drawing to a close. I mean, I don't know. It's kind of freeing. Just hang out on the radio, no pants on. But it is a Fishing Hole Friday, so we're going to enjoy ourselves today. George Young off on assignment. He is a busy, busy man, and he is out making the world safe for freedom and democracy. That's all he would tell me. He wouldn't tell me anything. He called from a block number, made sure the show went well yesterday, made sure I posted those podcasts, which I did. Anything you missed from yesterday, you can find on KFRU.com, KLIK.com. Go to the podcast page. You can find it right up there. And in case you missed anything, you can get it yesterday. We had Dave Matter in the first hour talking Mizzou football camp. Bo Bateman was in the studio with me. Second hour, it was just me, but we had Jay Binkley from 610, the day shift up in Kansas City, talking a little Kansas City Chiefs camp. So lots of football. The pads are out. The pigskins are out. All kinds of football. Speaking of football, Blake Topmeyer, Columbia Daily Tribune, is going to join us about 4:35, 4:40 this hour. Later on this hour, we'll talk to Blake about his takeaways from what the media has been available to. Another open media session tomorrow. So we'll get all of Blake's takeaways and happenings from Mizzou fall camp, summer camp for the Mizzou football team later on in the hour. In the second hour, Larry Borowski. Larry Borowski is our St. Louis Cardinals extraordinaire, and he's going to tell us everything that's happened with the Cardinals. What happened against the Brewers? What to expect against the Reds? And then after the Reds, there's a little four-game set, two away to start and two at home for the Cardinals. A little four-game set with the Royals. A little I-70 series. Shades of, 1985 maybe? You remember back to 1985 and all of the fair and balanced umpiring, runners all called safer out as they were deemed correctly to be. Little 1985, little I-70 series coming up beginning of next week. Monday, Tuesday at the K. We will have a lot of talk next week. Obviously, we'll get David Leskey back on to get the Royals side of everything. We'll talk with Larry Borowski, get the Cardinals side today. That'll be at 5:08, right when we come back for the second hour. We will be joined, as we always are on Fridays, by Larry Borowski. Speaking of all of that, Royals figured it out. Against the Marlins. No, it's a team that actually does have a chance to make the playoffs. Seattle Mariners. Mariners are on the outside looking in for that wild card spot. And it's a big series for the Royals. If that's one of those ones where if it sweeps either way, it makes huge, huge changes to not only just the Royals' chances or the Mariners' chances, but the entire American League could change on this series if it sweeps either way. And the Royals were able to take care of business last night. So Brandon Moss, left for dead for most of the season as the woeful woeful and pitiful designated hitter. The American League has that, you know. It's that extra guy who doesn't do anything, just sits around with a bat in his hands. He just hangs out on the bench with the coaches, and then he goes up and bats. Yeah, that guy. Brandon Moss, big signing for Dayton Moore. And up until the All-Star break, yeesh. Eek. It wasn't good. Was not good. But he's starting to come around. Starting to come around a little bit. And that Royals team, trying, fighting, scratching, clawing, all the way around for that postseason berth that is within their reach. They are, at the moment, sitting in that second wildcard spot, hot on the heels of the New York Yankees. They win 6-4 yesterday against the Mariners. Newly acquired Buchter takes the win with the late innings. Kelvin Herrera comes in for the save, his 24th on the season. And as you look around, you see the Rays. Somehow the Rays managed to beat the Astros. Come on, Astros. If you're going to help us out. Do something. If you're going to be a good team against the other wildcard teams. Not that the Astros want to do the Royals any favors. Still a little bad blood there. Boils over a little bit. The Indians give one to the Yankees. So that's one where either way, you're danged if you do, you're danged if you don't in that series. Indians win. They maintain that lead. They maintain that lead in the AL Central. But if the Yankees win, then that hurts your chances for the wild card. So the Royals, couple games behind the Yankees right now, but it's still in second place, that second wild card by themselves. St. Louis Cardinals lost yesterday afternoon. We talked about it a little bit on the air. It happened while Bo Bamon was in the studio. So Cardinals 53-55, four games behind the Cubbies. But a trip to Cincinnati in the works, and they are bad. 44-64. They are, as people in the know, in the industry like to say, they are bad. They are not good. Still waiting. Still waiting on NBA news. Still waiting on Carmelo. Still waiting on all those kinds of things. Waiting for something big nationally to happen. Sure. There was football last night. If you're into that sort of thing, I don't think very many people are. Doesn't seem like the NFL's ratings are very high or any money's being made over there by the NFL. But if you're into that sort of thing, there was football last night. The Dallas Cowboys and the Cardinals, they actually went into the fourth quarter. It was a good game into the fourth quarter. It was 18-17. It was a nail biter in the preseason. I mean, everybody sat out. Second stringers, third stringers, all the way down the line. The Cowboys with a field goal in the fourth quarter to take that big 20-18 win to kick off the 2017 preseason. Cowboys are back. Them boys, right? Get behind the Cowboys. No, don't do that. Nobody wants that. Nobody wants to root for the Cowboys. 442-8255-800-229-5378. Please feel free to join me on a Fishing Hole Friday. Your voice and my voice in perfect harmony here on the radio. Give me a shout out. Sports and other stuff. Whatever's going on out there. Welcome to call in. Give me a chat. I also have two more Chiefs tickets to give away today to the preseason game next Friday. Chiefs versus 49ers at Arrowhead. It's an 8:00 kick next Friday, August 11th. A chance to get into Arrowhead and enjoy yourself, enjoy a little of this preseason football, little second and third string, because you know that's pretty much how that works. But you got to enjoy that a little bit, and then you got to see. I'm still waiting. This Kyrie thing, it's died down. Has it died down enough that he's going to play as a Cleveland Cavalier? Carmelo Anthony, all day today. Every time I was near a TV and the Cryon, I looked up the ESPN or the Fox Cryon, the NBC Cryon. Is Carmelo Anthony this? Is Carmelo Anthony that? Where's Carmelo Anthony go? What's happening? You wanna find out where Carmelo goes? The Dolphins, Ryan Tannehill, non-contact injury. Probably don't want to draft him in your fantasy football league. You don't want to do that, probably. But now, do the Dolphins go out and find somebody? Matt Moore shows up, gets his moment in the sun. Kaepernick? Cutler? All kinds of questions surrounding the players out of the NFL at the moment. Where do these quarterbacks pop back in? £220 million? It's not a weight. That's a monetary figure overseas. PSG, Paris Saint-Germain, Paris Saint-Germain. Neymar, the Brazilian soccer player, £220 million. And that, folks, if you know how soccer transfers work, that's just to acquire the rights. That's not what he's getting paid. That's what the clubs exchanged just to exchange the player. Now he will negotiate a contract with PSG. The club paid $220 million for the rights to that young man. And that seems kind of crazy. I'm just throwing it out there. Seems a little crazy to me. Seems a little crazy. Seems crazy to me that $220 million for a guy, when you got to have a lot of guys. It's an 11-on-11 game. You field 18 every match. I don't know. Not exactly sure. Not exactly sure how all that works when you're trying to make a team go. So I'm going to step aside for a moment here. We're going to come back and talk a little more here on the Closers on a Fishing Hole Friday. And we will do one more segment, and then we will go to Blake Topmeyer, Columbia Daily Tribune. He'll be up in just a little bit, but we will be back momentarily for a little more sports talk and other stuff.
The Closers. Join the talk now. 800-229-5378. News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
A freak, enough to crave. A freak, enough to smile. A freak, enough to blaze. A freak, it's a new day. A freak.
Apparently it's retro day. Retro 80s, new wave. Got my mascara on. Got my black clothes on. I do have my black clothes on today, actually. Just happened to be black t-shirt, but that's okay. Just a little new wavy today on a Fishing Hole Friday here on the Closers. 442-8255-800-229-5378. I didn't get around to this yesterday. I wasn't able to. And I feel, you know, we are the Closers and we are sports and other stuff. So sometimes, you know, we don't get around to the other stuff because there's so much between the Royals and the Cardinals, Mizzou, Chiefs, Blues, Sporting, everything else going on. High school football is getting ready to kick off. With everything else that's going on, it's really hard to get to the other stuff sometimes. And it's not that it's the important stuff. It's not the stuff that makes the world go round in the sports world. But sometimes you just gotta look at the other stuff. And National Such and Such Day, whatever, National Fill in the Blank Day, is always interesting. It's always fun to see what day it is on the calendar. What national day such and such it was. So I don't know if you noticed yesterday, but yesterday Thursday, August 3rd, 2017. Was National Watermelon Day. Now, they got the time of year right. If you're going to have a watermelon day, August 3rd's pretty good time to do it. It's usually pretty hot. Picnics, float trips, National Watermelon Day. But National Watermelon Day? I saw someone on Twitter, I kid you not, scrolled right by it. Was pretty proud of myself. I love to answer questions on Twitter. If you follow me at Sparks J S P A R K S J A Y, you can chat with me during the show on there. I can answer questions there as well. If you can't get to the phone, again at S P A R K S J A Y at Sparks J. I love to answer the questions. I love the quote tweet this and fill in your top three, your top five. What's your most memorable? I love it. I love answering questions. I'm an open book. So I love doing it. But I saw one and I scrolled right by it yesterday and I was pretty proud of myself. What sport would be improved if you played it with a watermelon instead of the ball, puck thing of choice in that sport? Scrolled right past it. National Watermelon Day. Today, folks, today, not National Watermelon Day. That was yesterday. Today is National Owl Day. We're pretty lucky here in Missouri. We have some really great owls in the state of Missouri. We have a couple that live near my house. I get home from my other job late. I get home in the 2 a.m., the 3 a.m., the 4 a.m. time slots. And I oftentimes have run-ins with the barred owls that live in and around and above my house in the trees. And that's a pretty cool moment. It's not behind glass. It's not like going to the bird sanctuary or the St. Louis Zoo, a great zoo, by the way. Kansas City Zoo is also nice, but St. Louis Zoo is a great zoo. Not behind glass. It's not a guy. It's not a handler. The raptor project here in town that's at all the festivals, and they bring the owls and the hawks and everything out to the project. That's awesome. Love that. Love, love, love seeing all that. Love seeing that. My kids love it. We love to go talk to the folks there, but I get to commune with the owls. I'm going to go to the phones here. Got somebody on the line. Hey, you're on the closers.
Yeah, this morning Renee Holshoff and Simon Rose were talking about the day being National Chocolate Chip Cookie Day.
Well, man, I missed the boat completely. I would much rather have chocolate chip cookies than owls.
Yeah, I know. But Renee talked about it all morning.
All right. Well, see, that's what I get. That's what I get. Thank you for the call. So Renee and Simon, they give you chocolate chip cookies. I give you birds of prey. That's what we do here on the closers. It's a little different. A little different show, so we're going to give you a little something different. But owls, I get some really cool barred owls hanging out around my house at 4 a.m. And then when they look at you at 4 a.m., that's a different kind of look than at the zoo. That's one of those, like, I might be able to take you kind of looks. And some of the barred owls around my house, it might be true. I'd be freaked out if that happened. So Fishing Hole Friday, National Owl Day. And I apologize for missing National Watermelon Day yesterday. And I really apologize for missing National Chocolate Chip Cookie Day. Goodness sakes. That should be a national holiday. Completely. Mizzou football camp was closed today. They were there. They were doing their thing, but it was closed down today. So no media availability. So the guys got a day to reflect and write and get pieces together. And so that was good stuff. And listen, we are here to tell you about how to get the info for sports. We love the information. We love having the folks who know that are in the know to tell you what's going on. Rock'em Nation, Sam Snelling, Tramell Rags, Bill Conley, lots of great guys over there working hard. And that's a freebie. You go sign up, SB Nation site, get an SB Nation username, and that's a freebie. You go over there, that community is great. Open arms, free, lots of content. Now, right now, Power Mizzou, also free. A free month at Power Mizzou. Don't pay until after the Missouri State game. So you get the entire August camp run up We had Gabe on the show on Wednesday. You get the free run-up to the opening game, all free on Power Mizzou. This is a great month to have access to Power Mizzou. If you are on Power Mizzou today, I highly recommend it. If you were on there, Joe Walljasper, who's been on our show a couple times, late of the Columbia Daily Tribune, he has joined them to write a Friday feature called What Just Happened, and it's a great one. It's really, really dialed in. He goes around the sports landscape. He talks a lot about different things, not just Columbia-centric, obviously a Columbia-centric bent. Most of the stories are Mizzou-based, but he talks about some national stories, and it's a really, really good piece. Gabe interjects a couple times, as editors are wont to do. I don't know how Joe handled that after being an editor for so long himself, but Gabe was able to hop in there a couple times and join him. So good stuff, and I can't wait to see what's coming next. What's coming next on our show, still with the Columbia Daily Tribune? The Mizzou football beat writer extraordinaire, Blake Topmeyer, is going to join us. So we're going to take a little break. We're going to step aside here, pay some bills, and then we are going to come right back with Blake Topmeyer, Columbia Daily Tribune, all your Mizzou football camp needs, questions, information, all met next, right after this.
Closers on News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
Fishing Hole Friday. Jay Sparks in the chair at the ones and twos today. George Young off on assignment. Tramell Rags is probably off being awesome somewhere, having the best day of his life, because that's what Tramell does. I might have neglected to tell Blake Topmeyer from the Columbia Daily Tribune that it's 80s New Wave Retro Day here, rocking some early 80s stuff. And I know that's Blake's favorite kind of music, right, sir?
No, it's not. Oh. But I will say that David Morrison, my predecessor on the beat, loved New Wave 80s music. So, yeah, I'm just a beat writer late.
Okay, very good. Very good. Well, we won't torture you with that too much today. But as you've had a week with the fall camp, with practice going on and availability hit and miss as they open and close things, what's your kind of initial takeaway, Blake, from what you've been able to see and you know, see of with the camp and the guys?
Well, I think a couple shuffling of spots. You know, one thing that is being talked about a lot is how Missouri's got five starters back on the offensive line. You know, that line keeps being rehashed over and over and over. But, you know, one thing that I think is becoming obvious is that we're going to see a new starter at center. I don't know if it's clear yet who it's going to be. Jordan Dubinsky is the leader in the clubhouse right now, the sophomore walk-on from Rockbridge, who started the last two games of last season but wasn't the overall starter. Tristan Castillo is pushing hard for time at the starting spot there too, the redshirt freshman, and I wouldn't rule out the true freshman Case Cook either. So that's one thing that jumps out to me on the offensive side, is that even though five starters are back on the line, I don't necessarily expect it to be the same five guys. And then defensively, you know, the defensive line situation is, you know, perhaps even a little bit, you know, more perilous than we thought coming into camp, because Rashad Brandon, who had just kind of a smoke and spring, was one of the best defensive players, has not been cleared to practice this fall, in kind of a bizarre scenario where he's waiting on clearance from the NCAA. You know, I certainly haven't seen a case where a guy was allowed to practice in the spring but then waits on clearance in the fall. This is kind of a strange deal. Barry Odom says he thinks it's going to happen soon, and he's at least out, you know, publicly acting like he's not overly concerned, a little impatient, but not overly concerned. So, but that hasn't helped matters on the defensive line. And then Walter Palmore and Malik Young, you know, Walter Palmore's in town. He didn't practice yesterday. I wasn't able to see practice today. No media was allowed to see practice today, so I don't know whether he practiced today, but he's at least in town and kind of waiting for the final green light. Malik Young, though, not in town, doesn't have his clearance yet, and you just kind of start to wonder, is that going to happen? Is it not? And, you know, that was a guy that was really kind of counted on in this signing class.
Well, after all that, is there, you know, as everybody comes together, and again, it's just kind of it's pads and position coaches and you know, tossing balls and kind of getting out and moving around. With all that being said, you know, is there a position group that you see Blake as just kind of head and shoulders and ready to go, ready and raring and full strength?
Well, yeah, it is kind of hard because you don't see a lot of 11-on-11 stuff, but I would say maybe the wide receivers. You know, kind of standing out a little bit so far. There's been a lot of conversation with the players about how the slot receivers look really good. I mean, Jonathan Johnson returns as a starter there, but Rashad Floyd has been getting a lot of compliments from his teammates about how he looks really good and has the backup slot receiver. Obviously, on the outside, I'd be really surprised if it's not Jamon Moore and Demetrius Mason as the starters. But Dominic Collins, a guy I got a story about in today's paper, you know, he's hopped up to second string on the depth chart, and he's someone that only played in 3 games last year and, you know, Barry Odom questioned his commitment to the program, really challenged him after the season, and seems to have responded. And he's a guy that seems to really have stepped up his game. And so, you know, I think those frontline guys are all very established there, but it sounds like that it's the players and the coaches have been kind of pleasantly surprised by how strong the second string has come on at that position group.
One of the things people love to talk about at this time is freshmen seeing the field. Obviously, burning a red shirt, getting on the field as a true freshman in the SEC is a big deal. And we see more and more of it as the recruits kind of the recruiting game ups itself and these guys are fighting for playing time coming in the door. Are there any guys out there with the true freshmen that could possibly have the red shirt hanging over them that you see not only seeing the field, but kind of playing a position that, you know, or you know, actually playing in some high leverage downs in a way that contributes to the team?
Yeah, I'll start with this. I don't think we're going to see as many true freshmen playing as last season. Last year, there was an awful lot of guys burning the red shirt because Barry Odom has made it clear if he thinks you can help immediately, you will play. And, you know, he's not going to hold a guy back and redshirt him if he thinks he's a guy that can really help. But I think Missouri was in much more of a position of need last year to where they had to burn more guys' red shirts. But I think we'll still see some this year. I think especially on the defensive line. Now, again, part of that depends on what happens to these three guys that haven't been cleared yet. But Akil Byers, the freshman, perhaps, Akil Byers looks 24. He doesn't look like a freshman. And then Kobe Whiteside's just a name that keeps popping up a lot. You know, I can't say that I've seen enough of him yet to say whether he's another defensive tackle. I can't say whether I think that he seems ready or not, but it does seem like at least coaches, his name keeps coming up. I mean, it came up a lot on signing day, and it's come up here this first week of a guy that they think maybe could be ready to contribute. And then the two linebackers that they signed, I think, will both play, that being Jabal Brooks and Aubrey Miller. Now, whether that means they're actually seeing meaningful snaps at linebacker or not, I'm not sure, but I definitely think they'll play a lot on special teams. Offensively, the fact that you got 10 starters back, I don't think we'll see a lot of guys burning their red shirts on the offensive side of the ball. I think most of the freshmen that play will probably be on defense.
Yeah, and obviously with the when you look at the way the team was built last year and the success and failures of last year's team, it seems like the kind of place where if you truly believe that someone can help you, that's where they're going to get in to fit in. With that offensive side of the ball, much has been made about, you know, will Jamon Moore take a leadership role and come back with, you know, and fix some of the drop issues? Does Drew Lock have the next leap in him? Of all the things that I've seen, all the headlines and news and notes I've seen about the offense, is Demaryius Crockett bigger, faster, stronger? And is that, I mean, how does that play into his game and how Heupel wants to use him?
Yeah, he might be a little bit faster. He might be. He's probably about the same size as he was last year. He said today he was 225. He'd like to get a playing weight at 230, but he's not there right now. Although he's been up above 230 in the spring. So, you know, he was a big dude last year too. And I think he's just going to be better this year. You know, I mean, beginning of last season, he wasn't really the featured back. It was still Ish Witter. And I think those roles have kind of reversed where, you know, Crockett's become the featured back and Ish is, you know, has got his role in the offense as well. But, you know, one part of it is Crockett only played 11 games last year, had the suspension the final game of the season. So he's a 1,000-yard rusher despite playing 11 games. He was a 1,000-yard rusher despite not being the featured back the first couple games. So I just think those two factors alone, you could be looking at a 1,300-plus yard season. And then if you add in the fact if he is improved, if he is ready to take the next step in his game, then you could be looking at a 1,500-yard season, which would really be something special. I think the biggest thing for him needs to be to run with a little bit more oomph, a little bit more authority. And I'm not saying he's a dancer because he's not. He is a big dude that doesn't mind running between the tackles. But I think he could ratchet it up a little bit more and just punish people. You know, while I would say he's not afraid to run between the tackles, I wouldn't say he's to that point to where he just relishes punishing people. I mean, Leonard Fournette at times during his career just enjoyed punishing people. I don't think that Crockett was at that point next season, and I think that's the next step for him.
Well, it certainly seems like it when you have that talk, 1,000-yard rusher, 1,500-yard rusher, and a season like that as a true sophomore, that's a pretty good deal. You know, with the rest of that, how does Heupel continue to build? Are there wrinkles that weren't in play last year that you think, you know, he adds to what he does, or does he kind of strip it down and get back to kind of basics and not try to outthink the box? We've had offensive coordinators outthinking the box here before, and it's driven Missouri fans mad. So, you know, when you have some success and you're, you know, supposed to have more success the next year, you know, is Heupel going to get caught in that trap, or is he grounded enough to bring this offense and just continue doing what it does well?
Well, I think you're going to see more wrinkles in this offense, but I ultimately think that's a good thing because, you know, one of the things that drove some fans nuts last year was the fact, and not that you should do what fans do, but I do think the criticisms at times were fair, was that Missouri oftentimes only used half the field. Like, Drew Lock would only use a half-field read. Like, you could look to one side of the field, and the guys were essentially decoys. They were dummies. Like, the receivers on that side weren't really doing anything. And so with the run-pass options, it was either, like, Lock had two receivers on one side of the field that – you know, he could work with there, or he could hand the ball off. But he wasn't really doing a lot of full field reads at times last year. Lock said today, and I think this was expected, it wasn't a huge revelation, but he said there's going to be a lot more full field reads in this offense this year, which is just going to give him more options. And then two, you know, last year they talked for several weeks about how there was going to be motions and checks and shifts. There wasn't any of that. It was just turbo speed, run as many plays as fast as you can, keep the defense off guard and tired. And it worked okay, but against the Floridas, against the LSUs, against the better teams, that wasn't enough. And so I think that's another thing we could see a little bit more too, is some of those shifts and motions and where it's not just play after play, 11 guys zooming their butts to the line as fast as they can and kind of doing the same play over and over and over again, another RPO. So I do think this offense is going to be a little bit, I have a few more wrinkles. And I think all of that comes back to the fact that Josh Heupel thinks Drew Lock is a smarter quarterback this year and can handle it. I think that's why it was so much of a basic offense last year, is because that Heupel didn't think Lock was ready to mentally handle it. And that's coming from Lock himself. You know, that's what he says. And so I believe him at that. So, yeah, I think that's where we're going to see it be different.
Very good. Well, wrinkles due to growth and maturity, I'm pro wrinkles for the sake of complexity and wrinkles, sometimes not the best. Blake, I know you mentioned you had your player profile up for one of the guys we talked about earlier in the interview. Anything else coming down the pike for you, bigger pieces as you lead into the season, or, you know, what's going on in the Tribune?
Yeah, well, we'll have our camp notes after every practice date. You know, one thing for folks to know, it's not like the Gary Pinkel days where every practice you're allowed to be out there. So if you see a day where there's not really much from me, it's probably because I wasn't allowed to be at practice that day. But, yeah, in terms of big picture, We will have our preseason magazine publication that's slated to come out on the Sunday before the season opener. I believe that's maybe August 25th, maybe. But I don't have the calendar in front of me. But whatever that last Sunday is for the season opener, 6 days before the season kicks off, we'll have our preseason magazine where you can find cover story, SEC profiles, their teams, profiles of teams around the SEC, and some more deeper breakdown of the Tigers. So that'll be the kind of the date to circle on the calendar.
All righty, Blake Topmeyer, Columbia Daily Tribune, and we're going to get you out of here and let you continue on with your Friday. We're going to continue Fishing Hole Friday here on The Closers. Thanks for your time, as always, and everybody keep reading the Tribune and all their good coverage.
Thanks, Jay.
All right, thanks, Blake. We will be stepping aside for just a second, come right back to end hour one and get you set up for hour number two right after this.
It's The Closers. Be part of the show now, 800-229-5378. News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
Big, big thanks, Blake Topmeyer, Columbia Daily Tribune, hopping on and talking all about his experiences over at the fall camp for Mizzou football. All the information he gathers each and every day when they're allowed to be there and passes on to you through the Tribune. It's good stuff, and we always appreciate having him, because it's nice to have the guys whose eyeballs are there, know what they're talking about, follow the team year round. Those are the guys who are going to give you the information you need to be ready for football season. Goodness sakes, Labor Day weekend, football season already upon us. Cowboys beat the Cardinals last night. NFL action back in action as well. It is football season, high school football getting ready to get started. George and I will be doing the Jeff City Jays again this year. Listening on KLIK 1240, you can get all the Jeff City Jays games down there or online. So we'll be happy to provide that service again this season, home and away. So again, big thanks to Blake Topmeyer for joining me. Also, we're going to start off hour number two with Larry Borowski for all the Cardinals talk. What is this team? Where is this team going? What are they doing? All these questions. We're gonna get to all that and more with Larry Borowski as soon as we come back for hour number two, right after this.